Say something. Why do you keep moving this?
I didn't like where it was.
Why didn't you like where it was?
In front of my face.
You don't like it in front of your face?
No.
I don't get it.
Welcome to the Approach Podcast with Adam. Adam is a celebrity chef turned health coach to the stars, an ex-gymnast and ultra-marathon runner. Here, he'll discuss intermittent fasting, sugars intake, sustainable weight loss, and so much more. No script needed and off the cuff. Adam's knowledge and passion for wellness and nutrition will blow you away. So sit back, relax, and prepare to get healthy.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Approach Podcast. We have a very special podcast for you today. First, I want to introduce Victoria. How are you doing, Victoria?
I'm good. Thank you, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing well. We still got to get that picture going up for our new podcast profile picture.
I know. I'm working on it.
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I am great, Adam. Thank you. And it's my pleasure. I appreciate the invite.
I am so excited to talk to you. And I don't even think Victoria knows this, but I have had back issues for a long time. And my wife even had back surgery almost a year to date. So I am so excited to talk to you and understand what you do and how you heal us all. So I want you to take the floor right now and let us know who you are.
Okay. Well, Adam, like you said, my name is Amanda Harris, and I am an exercise physiologist and certified medical exercise specialist, which we can get more into what that means later, because I realize a lot of your listeners have probably never heard that title before. Yeah. But as an exercise physiologist, I basically went to graduate school to learn more about how exercise affects the body. So I know a lot about exercise, you know, right down to a cellular level. But because I had my own journey with back pain, my career, instead of going toward cardiac rehab, which is what a lot of exercise physiologists do, started bending towards working with people who have back pain, just because it became a very particular interest of mine after my own injury and journey with it. I started to kind of crusade, if you will, against back pain. And so my experience, as well as all of my academics, have really informed what I do now to help people resolve their back pain. So that's sort of the nutshell version of who I am and what I do. I own a medical exercise practice in Richmond, Virginia. And thanks to COVID, you've probably heard this before, but thanks to COVID, I started having to bring my services online.
Sure.
And I do so much hands-on stuff. You know, I don't do any massage or anything, but I do a lot of hands-on positioning of people to help them understand where their body needs to be in order to access certain muscles. And I had to learn very quickly how I could cue that and be effective online. And when I realized that I was actually helping people online, and I started getting clients from all over the country, I was like, oh, I could actually build an online course with this. And so that's sort of where my my efforts have been going over the last couple of years, is to try to bring this type of work to more people, because I really believe in 2024, there are so many different options available for folks to get out of their pain. And I just don't think we should have to live with back pain anymore. So
I would certainly love that from a personal standpoint. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we've taken the same approach as far as COVID. I mean, I was doing one-on-one coaching, and we started transitioning even before COVID to kind of online, but obviously COVID hit and nobody was coming in the office anymore. And I was like, wait a second, what's going on?
Yeah.
So we had to revamp ourselves as well. And it's obviously worked out amazing. And now we're able to help, you know, thousands of people instead of, you know, tens of people, you know, kind of thing. So that's exciting stuff. Now I have some initial questions, just again, from a personal standpoint. I had back surgery probably 16 years ago. And I know it's not a forever fix, but the sciatic, do you have any like just quick tips on sciatic pain and, you know, that numbing that goes all the way down to your feet? I'm sure you hear this quite a bit.
Okay. So to me, there's a bigger question behind this.
I'm sure that is.
You're okay with my expanding on it a little bit.
Yeah.
The bigger question behind this is, what led to your back injury initially, because obviously there was an injury there, which is why they had to do surgery, right? You wound up with a structural injury that was threatening your spine. And so they had to do surgery. Am I right about that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this goes back. I mean, I've played every sport known to man. I was a gymnast for 10 years. I coached gymnastics, which was probably worse than being a gymnast, throwing kids up in the air and, you know, saving them from their death, was probably did more damage, than doing the actual work. But yeah. So, and then wrestled. So yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. So somewhere along in there, you had some pain way before the injury that led you to your surgery, right? I mean, mm-hmm. at some point you had some back pain. And so I think what a lot of us are missing is we don't really address the pain until it becomes like an injury, you know, and that's when we're hurting bad enough to go to the doctor or, you know, hopefully get a script for good physical therapy or some kind of treatment that's going mm-hmm. to help us resolve that injury. But leading up to that injury, we're just going to say that somewhere along the way you developed some mechanics that were not ideal. So, you know, in
some compensation, right?
Yeah, we say suboptimal mechanics, right? Like we say the mechanics just weren't quite up to par, meaning that you were moving in ways that put extra pressure on your joints and maybe some of the structures in your back. And so as your back pain occurred, what happens at your nervous system level, your brain, right, which is really the controller of your entire body, your brain goes, ooh, you know, we've got pain in this area. And so it starts to make some changes. And one of the changes the brain makes is it reassigns a lot of your more movement-based muscles, like the muscles that bend you backwards, like your back extensors, right, that get you into backward bending. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even some of your outer core muscles get reassigned. But the one that most people recognize readily is the fronts of the hips, the hip flexors. Like they'll say their hips feel really tight and grippy. So the yeah. brain will actually start to reassign those muscles and tell them to brace you. So your muscles actually get really tight. And that's one of the big complaints about, progressive back pain is people feel so tight, feel like they can't forward bend, you know, that it's hard to get in and out of a chair. They just feel really stiff and tight. And that's your body, your brain, trying to protect you from further back injury. And at the same time, what it's doing is it's unplugging or deactivating some of those little muscles that are closest to your spine that allow for all that wonderful range of motion that you can remember as a gymnast or even as a wrestler, right?
Sure.
All that wonderful range of motion was made available by these little tiny muscles that are close to your spine that are meant to create some control, but also freedom of motion. And so when your nervous system goes into this reactive protective mode, it's facilitating or reassigning some of those big muscles to hold you steady and creating tone and tension there, what we think of as tension or tightness. And mm-hmm. it's unplugging the muscles that give you the freedom to move. And this really is the beginning of a cascade that sort of worsens with time because now you're into compensating. And I think you said that a minute ago, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Now you're compensating. So you're using muscles inappropriately, and that starts to create pressure on other joints. So not just the joints of your spine, but maybe your knees, maybe your hips, maybe your shoulders, and maybe it's just one, right? Like maybe it's one knee that hurts worse than the other, or one shoulder that hurts worse than the other. Because yeah. your body, if there's one change in your body, there has to be an alternate change somewhere else, right? We call that right. like in science, they call it a closed system, which just means that you can't escape that change. If there's a change in one area, there's kind of an equal and opposite change in another area. And so as you are adapting to this cascade that is literally started, sure. motion tends to get worse, but we humans keep moving and we keep trying different stuff until an injury actually occurs. So right. the reason I wanted to explain that is I think by the time we get into sciatic pain is kind of a downstream part of all this change, all this cascade and compensation. So you've got too much muscle tightness or tension. Yeah. that starts to put pressure on that big sciatic nerve. And of course, when you start feeling that discomfort, whether it is tingling, pain, or just like loss of sensation, like you're saying numbness there, you start to once again change how you're moving to try to take pressure off of that, which of course creates even more adaptation compensation.
I feel like with all this conversation, my damaged goods, or is there like some hope
that there is hope. There's totally hope. Because if your body took you there, it can also take you out of it, right? So like I was listening to your podcast last night and I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, this is so incredible. Like what you have learned that the human body can do with fasting. Sure. And how much change people are experiencing just with changing the time of day they're eating. Very and true. I believe you can do something very similar with back pain on the movement end of things. So I absolutely believe there is hope. I think depending on where you are in this process, it may take a little bit longer to get to where you feel like you've got resolution. But just like with fasting, it's that persistent, consistent level of effort that it takes to really retrain the body how to move well again.
I like that analogy because we talk about consistency so much in this. A lot of people like do extended fast and all these things. And we're like, look, the consistency is where it's at. So I'm glad you're using that.
And so I was hearing you last night talk about like people wanting to put stuff in their coffee. I was getting the biggest kick out of this because my husband's been working on intermittent fasting, but he always puts milk and sugar in his coffee. And I thought, I got to talk to him about that. Yeah. But you know, you can self-sabotage just in little tiny ways, right? And so a lot of what I try to help people understand is what it takes to retrain those faulty movement patterns and get you back to healthy, more efficient movement patterns. And a lot of it is consistency and discipline. And you know, and so where I really try to start unwinding it is that we're kind of in a cycle with this. So I didn't really finish describing the cycle, but you know, if you think of a cycle, you think of a big circle. I almost wish I had a visual here for your listeners. But you know, it starts with that pain, and then you start to get that cascade of the muscles tightening down and other muscles kind of being deactivated. And then you start to get more pain because you've got pressure on one of the nerves. The sciatic nerve is a huge one. And you know, people don't realize this. The sciatic nerve is as big around as my pinky. Like it is a big
hole. Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people think that, you know, a lot of us think of nerves as being like the size of a human hair, and some of them are. Some of them are smaller, and then some of them are like gigantic.
Wow.
So you think of something this big, it's not hard to put pressure on it, right? Like, sure. You start thinking about those muscles cranking down, and you can imagine how easy it would be to put pressure on that nerve, either at the root where, you know, the motion segment is, where the two vertebrae are with the disc in between. You can put pressure on it there, but you can also put pressure on it where it comes out in your butt.
Yeah.
And so we get a lot of folks that have sciatic pain that gets resolved once we get those faulty patterns in the around the buttocks to let go. But anyway, going on with my cycle, we've got that pain that gets driven more by some of the nerve pain. And then that starts to drive anxiety, right? And we're already in 2024, some pretty stressed out humans on this planet. And so we start driving up the anxiety and the stress, and all that mental anxiety and stress actually complicates that pain cycle, right? And you just keep going around and around in that cycle. And so one of the first things that I start retraining people on how to do is breathing, which, you know, often folks will look at me sideways and they'll say, I've been breathing all my life, Amanda. I couldn't be sitting in front of you if I wasn't breathing. Like, why are we talking about breathing? But you know, when we're sitting in front of computers all day, we don't breathe very well.
It's a very shallow breath, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very shallow breathing. Often we use the upper shoulder muscles and neck muscles to complete that breath because, ironically, it costs fewer calories to breathe that way than it does to use your whole respiratory system with your diaphragm and your chest wall muscles. Sure. And so the brain's like, hey, you know, if we've got to focus on this little box that's creating all this information that I've got to assimilate into my brain, then I've got to cut some of the calories out. So let's just cut down on breathing. Great idea, brain. so we wind up having to retrain the breath a bit. And when we retrain the breath, Adam, something almost magical happens because slow, deliberate breathing also drives your down regulation system in your nervous system. So it actually calms you.
So, well, and I would assume oxygenating your body, yeah. Your body more. Yes. Thank you. Right. That's going to be helpful as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Because one of the things that happens with tight muscles is they're not getting great blood flow, right? Which means you're not getting great oxygen. So you're absolutely right. So it helps to reoxygenate. It helps to lower all that.
Like, you said it much better than I did.
Oh, well, I tend to use that word a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, it's it helps with everything. So it brings the anxiety down. It helps to get more oxygen into the bloodstream. But it also helps to reactivate those deep muscles that are closest to the spine that are supposed to control the movement at the level of the spine. And that really helps some of that extra tightness of those outer muscles come down a little bit. So it sort of is the start of unwinding all this problem, all this dysfunction that we've, you know, sort of experienced.
I was just having a conversation the other day with a buddy of mine. He said he's doing these breath exercises and how much it's helping. So I'm so glad you're reiterating this, that mm-hmm. I think, you know, these are signs that not only I, but we all need to start doing this more. Just a simple breathing exercise we take so for granted. Yeah. I'm sure I am so enthralled with this and can talk about this for hours. I know Victoria has some questions that she wants to get to.
Absolutely.
Well, Amanda, I really want to sort of bring it back to you and your experience and how you got to where you are, because you're obviously clearly an absolute expert in your field.
Oh, thank
when
you.
I was reading up about you, I think there was a really awful accident that actually kind of a barn wall fell on you. I think you almost died. I think love to hear like your experience with that and how you got to where you are.
Well, yes. So I did have a barn wall fall on me. I was a senior in college.
Is that a real thing? Like a wall fell on you?
Yes. So I rode a lot. I was an equestrian athlete in my younger days. I hate saying that that's in the past, but it is for now. I had my horse at a farm that had a modular barn. And if you can remember that, it's not like it was a very well built barn, but it had been
a solid structure. Yeah.
Right. I guess the way it was constructed was the walls were dropped into a frame, right? Uh-huh. So that it was like put together and put together by cranes or something, but it was still, you know, like heavy, hardwood walls and sliding stall doors with all the, you know, iron fittings on them. So it was not cheaply made, but it was modular. Mm-hmm. The walls were one. I guess they were all bolted together. I don't know how else to describe it, but I had this horse tied to the barn wall and I was saddling him and I he was prone to having little freak outs. But in the past, when that would happen, usually I would know fast enough to untie him and like let him run backwards with me holding on to him. Or he would break his leather halter or something would break. But that particular day, for some reason, he pulled the whole wall down. I don't know what had happened, whether like something had gotten loose in the frame, who knows, but he panicked and he ran backwards and he was tied to the wall and the whole wall just came crashing down. And I had my back to the wall and was looking at him because he was in the aisle. And so when he started to blow, I thought, okay, well, I've just lost another, you know, $50 leather halter. It never occurred to me the wall was coming down until I started feeling something pushing me. And so I ran from it and it flattened me. I was face down, pinned under it, and it was covering me from the shoulder blades down. And it was about 6 stall fronts. So it was heavy as all get out. I could barely breathe. And I remember thinking, because he was standing there still tied to the wall, but at the end of it, like he was outside the barn. And of course, he was in a total panic at this point because it was like, oh my God, what did I just do? And I remember lying there and thinking, well, this might be it, because if he comes running back at me, he's just going to run over me.
Right.
And I laid there and I thought I was by myself. And as I was trying to figure out what was about to happen, these arms just came out of nowhere. So apparently there was this girl in the barn that had probably just driven up and I didn't hear it because of the calamity, but she came running and grabbed me from underneath my arms and pulled me as hard as she could. And we both fell into the stall across the aisle, when I came free of the wall. And, I just remember it happened so quickly. I just remember thinking, you know, oh my God, she just saved my life. And she was no bigger than I was. So this was like one of those crazy superhuman strength moments.
The adrenaline
like, I don't
was
know
kicking.
How she did that.
Yeah.
But I remember lying there and thinking, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs. Oh no, I can't feel my legs. And slowly the feeling started to come back. And you know, she grabbed the horse and got him taken care of. And then she took me to the emergency room, and I was able to walk by the time I got to the emergency room. And they looked at me, the doctor looked at me and said, well, you were very lucky because with the bruising on your back, you could have very easily broken some vertebra, but you didn't. And he said, you know, this was 1993, I think. And he just looked at me and he said, you know, just, I'm going to send you home with some muscle relaxers and some Tylenol 3 and just surf the couch for a couple of weeks. And when you feel better, just do whatever you want to do. And I said, well, hold on. You know, I teach aerobics at the university and I ride my horse. And he goes, yeah, whatever you feel like doing. If it hurts, don't do it. But yeah, go back to the city. And, we were in a very small town in Virginia too, very rural town. But I just remember being shocked that there was no
like
physical.
That was it.
There was no, you know, and I was too young and dumb to know any better. This was before my graduate work. And so I did exactly what he said. I was on the couch for a couple of weeks with muscle relaxers. And then 2 weeks later, I was teaching aerobics again. And I taught two classes a day, 5 days a week. And of course, you know, at 20 or 21, you bounce, right, Adam? Like you said.
Yeah.
Gymnastics
sure.
and the wrestling, and you have an injury and you're like, oh, it doesn't hurt anymore. So I'm back at it. But it did eventually catch up with me while I was in graduate school. And the fortunate part was that I was already studying exercise physiology. So I just started figuring I'd hit it with exercise because, I mean, that was my environment, right? Was
That's
studying
some strength
exercise.
Work.
And so I would go in the weight room and I would work out and my back would freeze up. And then I was like, okay. And I go to the doctor. And so eventually I started getting physical therapy prescriptions and I loved physical therapy. And I started like shadowing physical therapists because I found it fascinating. It's like, how can I actually heal from this? And then I would feel like I was done. I would be discharged. I would have great therapy. Like I loved the people I worked with. And then a month or two later, I would be doing something innocent, like pulling on a riding boot and my back would go out. I was what the heck? And so then over time, I started getting trained in every exercise discipline I could, you know, I kept thinking there's a solution in here somewhere, but the same thing kept reoccurring, you know, and I'd get another 12 weeks of physical therapy, great therapy. And then I would do something else and, you know, stoop down to feed the cat a handful of cat food and my back would go out.
And how old were you at this point?
This is probably into my 20s, like 25, you know, like past graduate school. But by the time
still
I got
young and not wanting to feel these things or have your back seize up and yeah.
No, I mean, I was an exerciser. I had taken up skiing, snow skiing, you know, I was riding my horse. I was lifting weights. I wanted to continue to do all the stuff that I was doing. I was running.
Yeah.
And then I would do something seemingly innocent and have these big, you know, reactions to them. And somewhere along the way, I had the great fortune of meeting this wonderful osteopathic type physician. And I say type because even though he went through osteopathic school, he started with a MD, so they wouldn't acknowledge him as an osteopath, but he was trained both as an MD and an osteopath. And he started helping me unwind a lot of that tightness we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And helping me understand both why it was there and why it kept returning. And so I would have these conversations with him because he's such a brilliant man. And I would say, okay, so you're helping me untangle this. How am I going to keep it? Like, what else can I do to keep it? And one day he just squared up on me and he said, you're the exercise expert. Figure it out. And I was like, oh, you know, and so I just started scrounging for every bit of information I could find. And I finally found an exercise method that really talked about helping to improve movement at the nervous system level. And that's when everything changed. And that's when I was introduced to how breathing can totally change this cascade, can actually interrupt this crazy cascade we find ourselves in. And then how we can actually use gentle movement and exercises to start to retrain movement, but from the brain level. instead of always whomping on the muscles, because all I knew to do up to then was just keep hitting the muscles. And the muscles, somebody told me once, and I think this is it was hard to hear because of my degree, but he said, you know, muscles are dumb. They just do what they're told. They just respond to orders. Like, the one you have to convince is the brain. It's like, oh, yeah. But that changed everything.
Sure.
And so once I started understanding how my body was responding, then I could start helping others respond.
I love it how you kind of had this challenge, and you literally, through process, trial and error, figured out this method to make it work.
Well, there was a lot of like tears and beating head against the wall.
I'm sure with anything good that there is, there's a lot of tears and headaches and frustration.
Yeah. But I think the most powerful thing was when I realized it was working on me, I couldn't wait to start sharing it with my clients, because I was already working with clients at that point, but I was having mixed results, just like I was having on myself, you know?
Right.
But that's why it kind of became a crusade. It was like, I want to free you of this too, because it's so amazing to be free of it. And I can't say, I make it sound like it's all in the past. And, you know, as with anything, pain will return, and you're still going to do stuff that's going to jack you up every once in a while. But having the understanding of how to resolve it is like gold. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Amanda, what would your advice be to somebody who maybe isn't suffering yet with back pain, but maybe gets to sort of, is right at kind of the beginning of that stage where they start to think like, oh, my back feels a bit today. Is there anything that they can do to prevent things getting worse? What would your advice be?
So that is an awesome question, and I love that question. The biggest piece of advice I have, and this was the advice that my doctor gave me 20, however many years ago, I don't want to give away my age, probably already did, but the best piece of advice that I ever got was move your body in a variety of ways every day, a variety of directions and a variety of ways every day. Now, I want to unpack that very briefly for your listeners, because every time he would say that, it was like talking to Yoda. I honestly wrote that in a blog article not too long ago, that I felt like Luke Skywalker talking to Yoda. It's like, what the heck does that mean? What does that mean? Like, I'm an exerciser. I move all day. But what the meaning behind that is you have to understand the movement patterns that you do every single day, right? A lot of it is what the three of us are doing now. We're sitting in front of a computer. We might move our hands and our heads a little bit, but there's a lot of other parts of our bodies that are sitting quite still. And then we have our exercise movements, right? Like, we all probably have some sort of an exercise program, and we have sort of the daily movements of self-care and whatever else. What you have to figure out is where you're not moving. And for a lot of us, it's simple things like backward bending. So can you get on the floor and do some press-ups? You don't need to use your back muscles, but could you use your hands and gently press yourself into back extension, like backward bending, gently, no pain, right? If you're not used to getting down on the floor, I had a 34-year-old client one time that had bad knees. And what we discovered was she hadn't gotten down on the floor since her kids were little. And so her knees were killing her because they were so stiff. Right. So what movements are you missing in your day? If you never have a reason to get down on the floor, maybe you need to get down on the floor during the day. If you never rotate because you have a backup camera in your car and there's no reason to turn anymore, then maybe you need to rotate a little bit. Right. So what I would tell your listeners is start to think of, I mean, like, we talk about diet recalls and things like that, right? Do a movement recall. Where are you not moving? And let's see if you can add that into your day so that your body has a more well-rounded repertoire of movement. And honestly, that alone can save your back.
That's great. I mean, listen, we could talk about this. I could talk about this for weeks and weeks. It's such an interesting topic, just because I've been through it. I'm still going through it.
Yeah.
My wife just went, you know, through some back injuries last year. I'm sure I'm going to have surgery again. But I want to give our listeners, you know, obviously I want you to plug where they can get more information about you and, you know, some of your online courses and stuff. Please let everybody know where they can get that stuff.
Yes, thank you. Reconnect.com is my website, and that's spelled R-E-K-I-N-E-C-T. So reconnect.com. And if you go to my website, there's a pop-up there that will show up that encourages you to sign up for my free live online workshop that starts next week. So if any of your listeners want to learn more about my method, jump into my workshop. And you'll learn all about it. And I'll also talk a little bit about my online course in there. But you're going to get introduced to my method. And even, and the reason I call it a workshop is I want you to actually do some of the exercises while you're online with me. So to me, it's a unique opportunity to try some of my exercises, try some of my method while you're online with me, and then ask me questions.
Because so it's going to be a live workshop then.
It's going to be an online live workshop, yes. Awesome. And we've got several different dates, but they start next Wednesday. And I would love to have your listeners come in and just learn about it, like try it out, learn how you can start to really help your back get better.
For sure. And I think, you know, for obviously a lot of our listeners who are needing to lose weight, they have that compiled weight, which is affecting their back, which is affecting their knees or hips. And I mean, yes. you know the story. So certainly we'll get this information out to our listeners. We'll probably we can throw it in some of our, you know, online stuff as well. But this is extremely exciting stuff. I want to thank you again so much for joining us here today. I'm sure we'll chat very soon because I want to learn more for myself. So you'll certainly see me on the workshop.
Great. Great. Well, I'd love to have you there. And thank you so much for having me on today. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. If you guys want more information, we'll send you the links. If you guys want more information about the Approach program, you can always check us out at jointheapproach.com. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you again, Amanda. Have a great day.
You too.
If you like what you hear, please make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you're interested in health coaching, nutrition, and wellness tips, make sure to check out Adam and follow at Adam Potash Approach.